Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Tech and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 195. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. Both teams have some similar struggles right now. I went to Fenway on Sunday and watch them blow a 3-1 lead to Minnesota and lose 5-4. I think almost every run that Minnesota had came with two outs. And outside of a leadoff home run, it all came out of the bullpen. So I know the Yankees have some bullpen struggles. And so let's sort of – I'll start with my Fenway, and then we'll talk about both teams' struggles. And I will talk about Casas as well because I think it's part of the problem. I mean, I think the Red Sox might lead the league in one-run losses. They've lost – I think they've blown three leads in the last week in seventh inning or later. And it just was like clockwork when I went on Sunday. And it's so demoralizing. And the thing is, they should have been ahead more than 3-1. So they squandered some opportunities to get a bigger lead. And then at 3-1, two outs. Boom, two outs. Everything was with two outs. So they were so close, and I don't really understand what happened. But their games that they've given away in April and early May, the Red Sox should be five games over 500 at least, and they're not. And now there was at least one problem. The guy who was playing first, I forget even who it was, made a play that I'm pretty sure that 6-5 Casas would have made. And I don't know what to do because they don't have a natural like fill-in at first, even though they have two guys in the minors who are ready to play the majors. They're not first baseman though. So what do you do? Do you put Devers there? But then I don't want some young rookie coming up to DH. So
I don't think Devers is the option. I thought Cora had already ruled that out, that Devers
so
isn't going to.
And then there's no good option, right? So
well, I mean, there's apparently no like right now internal option. I mean, they called up Abraham Toro to fill Casas' spot.
Yeah, but he's not the answer.
The interesting thing that you pointed out, Brian, is the Red Sox, you say, should be five more wins, right? Or a couple games over 500, right? Well, these are the games you got to win. It's like the Yankees, they're squandering these opportunities. And when you're talking about a Minnesota Twins team that's got a losing record, right? They're 15-20 right now. And yeah, same thing with the Yankees. You stumble over the weekend and you blow two out of three games, basically, to the Rays, who are, you know, they're hanging in the AL East because AL East is just a mess right now, but basically kind of the same team the Twins are, you know, not too exciting, not much going on, but they're winning, you know. When you talk about Casas and you know, what they're going to do about it, you know, everybody's screaming here that, you know, bring Roman Anthony up, turn him into a first baseman. Well, I mean, come on. Do you think it's that easy to take a rookie and turn him into a first baseman, an outfielder? I don't think so. I mean, regardless of your talent, I don't think so.
Well, it's tough because, let me just interject, because listen, when I was growing up, I played first base because I was a lefty who couldn't do anything else, right? So it was like, I wasn't great at the outfield and I could hit. So I couldn't pitch, and that's where they stuck me. Like, it's a place to stick people. It's not, listen, it goes back to Moneyball. You know, it's incredibly difficult, right? I mean, in the living room of Hatterberg, right? So but I do think it's the easiest position to adapt to if you're athletic, but I'm not sure you want to F with this guy's career by doing that if he's going to be slated to be a 10-year major leaguer at another position. But I just think it's crazy that we can't figure this out. And whether it's Mayer or Roman Anthony, like, those guys should be playing in the lineup anyway. So if you said to Roman Anthony, would you suck it up for a year and just spend 4 hours a day working on it? I bet he could do it.
But is this something that's
the right idea, or they should do it? I'm not even saying that that's what they should do. I'm just saying that first base isn't the hardest position on the field. It's not.
No, it's not. But you brought up a good point about his age, right? And is this something that you would want to look at for a 10-year career? I don't think that's something that they would. I think it was something that, given his age, they would make him do it now. And right, hopefully, you know, he fills up a role. I just don't see it happening. I don't see them taking someone like him and doing that, which, again, complicates this for the Red Sox, because you look internally and you could think, Willie Abreu, maybe he could go and play first base. But, you know, you say it's the easiest position on the field, and we'll talk about the Moneyball thing too, but it's not. Like, it's not the easiest position to play. Like, in general, it you could say it is, but you need the footwork, you need to be able to tag the bag, you need to be able to position, you need to be able to move, you need to turn double plays weird. There's so many different things. You need to be in the cutoff. There's first base is not that easy, and you're not just going to take a player and do that. There's major leaguers like Alex Rodriguez in his time took grounders and stuff at first base, and he was terrible at it.
Yeah.
Terrible at it. So it's not, you just don't, because you're a major leaguer, do that. Now, let's get back to how they solve this problem. Now, do they look outside, like Dominic Smith sitting in AAA for the Yankees? Do the Yankees want to do something and try to get rid of him? I don't know what his contract says, if he can get out of it or not. And there's Anthony Rizzo. Is he still around? What's going on with him? You know, there's players that are in playing baseball. There's players that aren't playing baseball right now. And then there's the internal option. I just don't see them taking someone like Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer and trying to make them a first baseman, A, and B, a first baseman in a division, in a huge position where they have a team that can win the division. Obviously, they're a game and a half back as we speak right now.
That's
right?
Crazy, by the way. As of Tuesday, they're 18-18, and they're within two games of first. That's bad.
It's a tough decision, and I honestly, I don't think that Breslow and the powers that be have an answer right now. Or if they're not telling you.
The reason why I think you're right about something is that the way they deal with the data stuff, they won't mess with a kid's trajectory over this. They look long term. So if Anthony's an outfielder, Mayer's going to be a shortstop, then they're going to keep that going. I don't know where they necessarily are going to project, but I understand. And I don't think they're going to do something sort of crazy and creative. Although I think the fans would love it and it'd be worth a shot. And as long as you find a way to placate the kid and his agent and his family, I agree they're not going to do it. But part of me, even though I know it's probably not the greatest long-term baseball decision, even in the short term, I think it'd be fun to try. And it would right now, there's no juice there, because every time the team wins three games, then they choke away games. And I do want to just point out, like opening day was nuts. It was full. It wasn't a total sellout. And the concessions were terrible. I could get a beer in 30 seconds on Sunday. And it was like, it was pretty stunning to me. It was a great promotion. They had May the 4th be with you with Star Wars t-shirts. They had tons of kids and college kids there, and it's still, there were tons of empty seats. I mean, like, not for Fenway, there were tons. Like,
and weather was nice, right? It was reasonably
great. It did rain. But after the third inning or fourth inning or so, it was dry the rest of the game. But I did get wet, but it was not cold and it wasn't like a total downpour. So I just, and because we're in that sweet spot, the tourists are not at school yet, right? So they're not here. And they're so lucky the Bruins are out of the playoffs, or it'd be even worse. But the experience, it was fine. There was enough people there to have it feel like a good game, but it was just a tough thing to watch where they just two outs on the cusp of getting out of it and then just couldn't get out of it like three times in a row.
One last thing to say about the Red Sox first baseman situation. The interesting thing about this, there's a few things, but one thing I think is really interesting is that Rafi Devers' name just keeps coming up. And it's not going to go away. Like all these pieces, you know, the third base. Now the first base is open. Let's move him to first base. Oh, no, he's our DH. But if you move him to first base, that opens an opportunity for Roman Anthony to come up and he could DH and flip-flop with Abreu in the outfield. So it's no matter what, Rafi Devers is still going to be talked about, I think, going forward in this. Because in the grand scheme of things, as it pans out, if they can't figure it out, he actually might be the best solution to move over there.
Well, you just said at the beginning, though, that they're not going to
I don't think they are, because Cora said that he's not, from what I have read and heard. But given
Devers' conditioning, which is not good, with his athleticism, which is actually pretty good, I think that he would be fine. I mean, he's in better shape than Pablo Sandoval. I don't know.
I'm looking at it for a way for them to get Anthony in the major leagues. Right.
And I don't see him ever playing third ever again. I really don't think he'll ever play third ever
again. Not happening.
So I think it's an interesting dynamic, but you'd have to sell him on it. And if Cora is protecting him, then that is what it is. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 195. Just a side note on Casas. I mean, from watching the show on Netflix, I kind of did get more of a soft spot for him. A lot of people think that part of his injury was, you know, that he's carrying too much weight and stuff like that. I mean, I don't really know.
He did look pretty big going down to first base there.
Yeah, and I mean,
he didn't hit the bag with his left leg. Yeah. He hit it with his right, and then when he went over the bag, that's the injury, which is weird. You thought he would have done it with his right leg.
Right, and also if you really study him and look at his tape from when he's younger, he's a really talented baseball player from the perspective of he can hit the baseball. He's not like that athletic. He's not like an athletic guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you'd notice the way he like carries himself and runs, he's got this little like weird fundamental lack of coordination in some things. So I listen, no matter how much I like or dislike an athlete, I never cheer for people to get hurt. Like, no. I hate it when a young kid goes down like that. It's a bummer. And then if you watch the series, you know, he's a fragile kid, you know? And, you know, I watched Duran, you know, strike out with guys on base on Sunday and on three pitches, and I can't imagine the torture he puts himself through. They don't have any clutch. They don't have any clutch players. I mean, they don't have a lot of clutch. So, that's that. Now, the Yankees, on the other hand, expectations.
Speaking of torture, right?
Super high, and the back end of the bullpen is killing you guys.
Yeah. So big blow up on Monday evening in the Bronx. Two rain delays. Game starts late. Game has a rain delay. Carlos Rodon has been lights out pretty much all season. I mean, he's had maybe one little rough start, but again, great pitching performance by Rodon. Bullpen takes over. The weird thing here is, for me, is Boone's decision not to bring Fernando Cruz back out. He throws two pitches the inning before and gets out of the inning, and then he goes to Devin Williams and doesn't bring Cruz back out. Now, Cruz has been pitching very well, well. Totally. So why not bring him out, especially given the circumstances? Listen, a 3-run lead is nothing in baseball. If it was an 8-run lead, maybe, you know, but Devin Williams is struggling. He is struggling. Everybody knows it, and it just blew up in their face again on Monday night in the Bronx. It's unbelievable. I just don't understand the thought process behind not bringing Cruz back out. And then you saddle Luke Weaver with a bases loaded situation. I mean, what do you think is going to happen there? I mean, his pitches look flat anyways. He looked like they weren't moving. I don't know.
I don't know much about Cruz. Is he closer material?
I mean, he's been pitching in this situation all season. He hasn't really faltered. So I don't understand why you wouldn't allow him to do that, given
he doesn't walk guys. You know what I mean?
That's the key. Williams, all he does is walk guys.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's all he's doing is walking guys. I mean, Devin Williams has 10 walks and 13 strikeouts in 11 innings this year. Walks kill you in Major League Baseball, especially in the late innings.
His whip is 1.97 and Cruz's is 0.79.
So explain to me the thought process behind that. Now, it's raining, it's wet. I get it. Everybody is dealing with that.
Yeah.
You got to go with what works. You blew that game. That game, in my opinion, that game falls on Boone's shoulders last night. Bad decision making.
Well, I mean, who's coming midweek for the Yankees? Who do they have now coming to town? They got the Padres. That's going to be
the Padres are now. Yeah. Yeah.
So then, I mean, the Padres are really good. I mean, that's a really good test. And, you know, as of Tuesday, going into Tuesday's games, I mean, they're 19-16. They're still scoring. I mean, they're scoring runs. I think they have the most runs in the American League.
Well, they're scoring runs.
Baseball, the only team.
They have 190 runs scored, and they have.
So the Cubs are the only team in the majors who scored more runs than the Yankees. And the Cubs have, 22 wins to their 19.
I mean, so the Yankees in the AL East are leading with a 19-16 record. And then you look in the AL West, the Mariners are 20-14 and Oakland's 20-16. They're better than the Yankees and the Red Sox and every other team in the AL East. We were laughing at the AL West. Yeah, granted, it's a weaker division, but you still got to win the games you're playing.
Listen, the Red Sox lost the series to the Twins at home. So,
I get nervous. I see this unfolding again. Like, last episode I talked about, it's great. We know, what we got going in and, Weaver can close and Boone will figure it out. But now I feel like Boone's screwing it up now because he's screwing up what the setup is going to be. Like, I just don't get the thought process behind Monday night. I just don't.
Well, I think part of it, I mean, I'm just BSing, but I think like this early in the season, Boone's he's a former player. I think he wants to let guys work it out, right? I mean, see if they can work it out. I don't know.
Wins are wins, though. It's MLB. Yeah. Work it out. Work it out in the off season. I mean, come on, you got to win those games.
I don't know if it's worth editing over John Senecal, Brian Shackman, here, episode 195 of Fan Base: Deep Dive in the Greatest Rivalry in Sports. I'm not a big jersey guy, but my wife brought it because I met her because I came back from my high school reunion, which was I still look like I'm hungover. I wore my City Connect shirt on Sunday because I don't like wearing anything. But she's like, I bought it for you. I want you to wear it. I said, fine. I like it. I actually really like
the yellow one. The yellow one.
Yeah, I really like it. But now you're telling me they're coming out with a second one. And then you showed me the Arizona one, which looks terrible. And I guess I don't know any other ones. Maybe I'm buying. Now, it's the only two teams that don't have it are the Yankees and who else doesn't have it?
Oakland. Well, Sacramento.
They don't have a city. There's no city can connect
I would think, to. I would think that was the reason they didn't want to connect it to the dump that was kept talking about Oakland, and now they don't really have a city. Yeah. So the City Connect debuted in 2021, and there's been 29 different City Connects teams through 2024. Some have multiples. The Dodgers had two last year. And this year, you're going to see doubles for the Astros, the Nats, the Giants, Rockies, the White Sox, which actually looks like the Chicago Bulls, old uniforms.
Yeah, which I actually thought was like, I don't like them, but at least it makes some sense.
Yeah. The Marlins.
Jordan colors.
The Marlins, the stupid powdered purple D-backs, and then now the second set that they're talking about coming out, which will debut on May 16th, is the Red Sox, which is inspired by the Green Monster, accordingly, is what they're saying. Now, the pictures officially haven't been put out, but if you look online, you can find them. And to me, they're just boring as hell. I mean, they're just literally like a green jersey with a shade of the Green Monster. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, you sent me an image of it. I think it looked terrible. And I guess my point is the yellow ones are so great. The yellow ones, they had a yellow jersey on sale at the merchandise store in the stadium for $200. And people are wearing them all over the place.
It's an actual jersey now for them, the yellow one. It's no longer a City Connect.
I love them. And the thing is that some schleps will buy the new ones just because they buy – there is a certain core person who buys everything, right? Yep. And so they'll sell some, but I don't know. I understand they're trying to market and be different, appeal to young people and all this stuff, but I tend to be slow to adapt to change.
I just don't. It's obviously a marketing ploy, right? I mean, it's done to sell stuff. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Do you think the Yankees will ever do it?
Oh boy, I'd love to know the reasoning behind it. I'm thinking it's just because it's tradition. Like, no names on the back of the jerseys. Keep everything as simple as possible. I mean, if the Yankees did it, they'd sell a zillion of them. You know that. It'd sell a zillion of them, especially if they put someone's name on the back. If they put names on the back of those jerseys, they'd sell a bazillion of them. And I don't think they'll ever do it either. But it's interesting to me that the marketing, right? It's a marketing ploy because you said the Chicago White Sox are debuting one for the second time that they just did this past weekend, I believe. And it's the Chicago Bulls jersey. Like, where was the design there? They're like, all right, let's just take the Bulls jersey and throw it on a baseball team. Like, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I think that that's one where I kind of disagree, because I think that the owners of the White Sox, I don't know if they still own the Bulls too, right? There used to be a connection there.
I think so.
And the black and red is synonymous with Jordan, who's synonymous with the best basketball player of all time. So I think there's some connection and coordination there that makes some sense.
So if it's a City Connect and it's Jordan, and why couldn't they figure something out and work with Nike, who makes the jerseys, right, I believe, and put the damn Jumpman logo on it or something with a cityscape behind it? Something. Like, come on, man. You just went black and red. It was the easiest thing ever. It literally was the easiest thing ever. They probably had the freaking material sitting around for the last 20 years.
But I actually like the way you're thinking on that. That would be fun to have a little flying icon.
They won't pay for it. Ain't going to happen.
Yeah, they'd have to
pay for it.
All right, we got to run. Listen, great job as always. Are you going to Fenway anytime soon or Yankee Stadium anytime soon?
Oh, that's a good question. I was supposed to go to Fenway last Friday, but I couldn't make it. I had family stuff. But I don't know. I'm sure I'll get there soon. Yankee Stadium, I don't have an actual time that I'm going. I'm looking at some days, but I don't have anything. Working up here is tough. I got to go on the weekends if I go.
Yeah,
really.
You're a busy man. He's John Senecal. He's a busy man. I'm Brian Shackman. I'm not a busy man. This is episode 195. A Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.